The safety of some rail bridges along the Mississippi River has some residents concerned and federal officials questioning the integrity of the structures. Maureen McCollum has more.
The railroads follow the entire stretch of the Mississippi River along Wisconsin. Trains travel next to highways, pass through towns, and cross the river on lines owned by BNSF Railway. An average of 36 trains carrying more than 1 million gallons of crude, Bakken oil, travel these rails weekly. Recently, members of the group Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, or CARS, decided to check out some of the bridges south of La Crosse. What they saw concerned them.
This would scare everybody that we're hauling this kind of fuel down these rail bridges.
CARS member Guy Wolf found bridges with crumbling concrete and exposed rebar. One bridge was held up with stacked wooden beams. Flipping through a pile of photos of the rail bridges, Wolf acknowledges that he's not an engineer, but he wants a more thorough investigation.
We're radically concerned that these bridges have not been inspected properly, that they pose a significant threat primarily because they are, in fact, carrying high-level, flammable material, over a million gallons of oil every single day down the river.
Railway companies must inspect the tracks they own. In this case, it's BNSF. BNSF denied several requests for an interview, but in an email, a spokeswoman says all bridges are inspected at least once annually. If an inspector and structural engineer identify a major deficiency, the company then decides whether to fix the bridge or replace it. Rail companies submit their inspection reports to the Federal Railroad Administration, which then evaluates them. Multiple requests to speak with FRA officials on bridge safety and inspection protocols were denied. An FRA spokesman said in an email that the agency can perform safety inspections on the bridges. It will issue emergency orders to remove or limit rail traffic if a bridge is found to be a serious hazard. CARS members recently met with Senator Tammy Baldwin in La Crosse about the issue. She sent a letter to the FRA this week requesting inspection reports on the bridges near La Crosse.
I mean, it's hard to believe that they were adequately done when you see the images, but I want to hear from authorities about what guarantees they can give us that these inspections are done on an annual basis, that they are comprehensive, that there is a plan in place for reconstruction of bridges that are showing signs of failing.
Senator Baldwin is pushing for more federal funding to hire additional rail inspectors and boost the inspection program along oil shipment routes. CARS members also brought the bridge photos to the attention of U.S. Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox when he was in La Crosse last week. Fox says the bridges are part of the overall problem with infrastructure in the country.
Regular people all around the country are going to have to start speaking up. I mean, these bridges that I saw, the pictures that I saw, these bridges that have been held up by trusses, it's just, it's hard to believe it's America. You know, you could believe it's a third world country, but this is the United States of America, and we do better than that.
After viewing the photos, FRA officials who were also at the meeting but could not be interviewed said they would send an inspection team to Wisconsin this week to examine the bridges along the Mississippi River. Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse.
Election Day is weeks away in Wisconsin, and one group is giving suggestions to the next governor. The Wisconsin Policy Research Institute just commissioned a report to look at changing taxes in the state. Their suggestions? Cut income tax some more and shift some taxes from one source to another.
Here to talk about that report is Mike Nichols. He's the president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute who commissioned that report. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So this report is coming out on the eve of the midterm elections. Why now?
So we started out about a year ago, actually, thinking to ourselves, we should really step back and look at an important issue here, which is, do we have the right tax level in the state, but also do we have the right tax mix? Do we ask people to pay the right kind of taxes in order to, best produce economic prosperity, jobs, income growth, investment growth, down the road? We feel like too often we make decisions on tax policy based on sort of, short-term, ever-changing projections of deficits and surpluses that may or may not turn out to be true. So, part of it is that the study's just ready already now. But I will say, you know, we could have held off until after the election was over. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to have put it out any closer to the election. But, you know, there's a big part of me that feels like, hey, right now is the time actually when people are tuned in. It's when people actually care about, you know, revenues and care about taxes and, you know, all those other related issues. So people are paying attention. And so we thought it was, you know, a good time to put it out there.
One of the things the report takes on is comparing how Wisconsin tax policy stacks up against other states. What did you find?
So the most recent stuff we have is actually from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, which is kind of the gold standard around here and very objective. And so they put out some numbers in 2014, which is actually based on 2011 data. So I want to make that clear, and then I can tell you what I think has happened since 2011. But in 2000, earlier this year, what the Taxpayers Alliance came out with is that, you know, we still have a very high tax burden in this state in comparison to other states in the country. That overall, and this is as a percent of personal income, in other words, the percentage of your income that you pay in taxes, we're about the 11th highest in the country. So we're still extremely high. Now, again, that's based on 2011 numbers. Those numbers also said that, in particular, we have very high property and individual income taxes. And, you know, the other big tax that we have, of course, in this state is our general sales taxes. And we have those at the statewide level and then also at the county level. We're very, very low on that. And, you know, there are a couple different ways to look at this. We're about 30, I think it's sixth in the country if you look at, you know, the contribution that each of us as individuals make as a percent of personal income in general sales taxes. But if you just look at rates, you know, the average for us, you know, if you factor in local taxes along with state taxes, about 5.4%. We're actually 44th in the United States in that, so very low sales taxes, very high income and high property taxes. Now, just very briefly, I mean, we're probably in a little better position on income and property taxes since 2011, because there have been some tax cuts in the last couple years. But if you look at what the overall, you know, tax burden is in this state and what the reductions have been and what's been happening simultaneously in other states, you know, we're probably still in the top third in terms of highest taxed in the country.
Give us a 101 here. How does the tax burden in a state affect its overall economy?
So it affects it in all kinds of ways. Obviously, we need taxes. I mean, there are a lot of government functions and services that are absolutely essential, but there are also ways that, frankly, taxes take money out of our pocket, and they do that in different ways. So it's money that we don't have to spend in the private economy. So obviously, you know, good things that happen with taxes, but there are also some negatives. And various types of taxes have different types of, I guess, negative impacts on economic activity in the private sector and in general, in job growth and in investment and in the way we save money. And so, you know, the easiest way to think about it, I think, is that, you know, sort of the most, you know, harmful, I guess, taxes to economic growth and development over time are probably income taxes. Because when you think about it, you know, what you want to do as little as possible is tax work. You know, you don't want to have a disincentive for working. And income taxes also tax saving. It makes it harder to save, and savings are important because, you know, savings are enable investment in the economy. So various taxes have various impacts, and what the economists will say, and it's not just the ones that we used for this study, is that what we want to do is not have super high in comparison to other states' income and property taxes, and probably better, although there are some negatives to it, but better to focus on consumption taxes, you know, sales taxes, for instance, to a better degree, as long as that's done the right way.
You've got some changes based on your report. What do you think needs to change in Wisconsin?
So we think there's still a need in this state for there just to be lower taxes, lower property taxes, and lower income taxes. We're still a highly taxed state. You know, when you're high in comparison to other states, it's hard to attract capital, and that's important. So we think that those taxes still need to be brought down, but we're not just going out there and saying, oh gosh, you know, we just need to cut, and there's no other alternative. I mean, you know, we understand that there are, you know, sometimes limitations that are either based by, you know, the needs of government or by politics, where that's not going to be possible. So we also looked at what I think is another really interesting question, which is, you know, if we change the tax mix, you know, the extent to which we tax people in those individual categories of taxes, you know, could we get more of a sort of an economic kick long term through that? And so we asked the economists to do some from Boston to do some modeling on different tax mixes as well.
Okay, and what would those be? So for cutting, according to your plan, property taxes, income taxes, where does that go? Where do we get the money that we would have gotten there?
So there are two different things. I just want to make sure I understand the question. I mean, so we looked at a bunch of different, you know, scenarios. One is just, you know, some of them, one category is just, you know, tax cuts, and the other is, you know, revenue neutral scenarios. There wouldn't be a loss of revenue to the government, but it would still be economically advantageous. So two different things there.
And you're hoping, though, to shift this, you said, to the sales tax arena.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about what that would be?
Sure. So if there's a shift, and this, it's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because people, you know, there'll be a couple of immediate criticisms. You know, oh my gosh, we can't raise the sales tax rate, even though we're lower than elsewhere. We're already, you know, at five statewide, or, you know, or 5.5 in some places. And, you know, there are going to be some negative impacts of raising the sales tax rate, and that's true. But what we feel is overlooked is the fact that we have a very narrow base on our sales tax. You know, there are a lot of areas that are exempt, or some that have never paid sales taxes. So what economists will tell you is that you want a broad base, not a narrow base. So, you know, we asked the economists to run some scenarios wherein we just had a kind of a broader base where, you know, there weren't so many carve-outs for various, you know, people or groups or things or industries.
And Mike, we're gonna have to hit pause right now. I'm sorry. We'll come back to that answer and continue our discussion. We're talking with Mike Nichols of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute about the group's report with suggestions on how to change Wisconsin's tax structure. And we're taking your calls on this after the news. What do you think about the current tax system in Wisconsin? What needs to change? What do you think about changing the sales tax measures? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You're listening to Central Time. We're continuing our conversation now with Mike Nichols of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. The group just put out some suggestions for how Wisconsin could change its tax policy. And we're taking your calls now. What do you think of this new plan to cut taxes further and change what gets taxed? What do you think of Wisconsin's current tax structure, and how would you change it if you could, and why? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Mike, I want to go back to you and pick up the rest of your thought there before the news. You were talking about some language mentioned in the plan to change the sales tax rates in Wisconsin, including in the plan, moving them to some areas that are currently not being taxed, areas like fees on attorneys, lawyers, and beauticians. Do you want to talk some more about that?
Sure, and I'll just touch on it briefly, because you asked how we might shift to consumption or sales taxes, and there's a way to do it without actually raising the sales tax rate. We could actually bring the rate down, but broaden the base, is how the economists refer to it, by expanding sales taxes into some areas that don't currently pay. So, you know, it's something we think that is worth looking at. We'd still be competitive on rates, but we could still shift some of the burden away from high income and property taxes to sales taxes.
So broadening the base, can you go into a little more depth about what exactly that means and what would be taxed?
Sure. So if you want to see the report, there's a whole list, and I don't want to bore you with all the things that are exempt in our sales tax, but I'm opening up our report right now because I never can remember all of them. But it's at our website, which is www.wpri.org. The whole thing is there, and there's a table of items that are currently exempt in our sales tax. And There are some that are not in here that we didn't include, and we're not, and I can just read the list, but we're not advocating for, you know, that we include things, specific things right now that are currently exempt, but we're just, because that's kind of, you know, you're going to get into a big political debate about that, but in what we are saying is in general that if you eliminate as many exemptions as possible and sort of eliminate these carve-outs, that's the best thing economically and the fairest thing as well. So, you know, there are all kinds of things that are exempt from the sales tax, and it ranges from, you know, big stuff like, you know, motor fuels and food, labor input into construction, you know, all the way down through, you know, a lot of professional services, legal services, you know, architectural accounting services, as you mentioned. And then, you know, there are just a whole variety of other sort of, you know, relatively smaller things, but things that are still, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year, you know, beauty, in barber, you know, barber shops, veterinarian services, you know, health clubs, funeral services. So, you know, you can see I go through this list, and mm-hmm. people who are involved in these industries are probably getting up in arms already about it. But so yeah, there'd be a fight, there'd be some consternation. But you know, the economists say that that long term, you know, it's better to expand the base, focus on what we call consumption taxes rather than income taxes. So.
Okay, we're going to go to our phones now, and we've got George with us from Fenimore. Hi, George.
Sure. Hi. I'm from Texas.
Oh, George, are you still there? I think we may have lost you on your cell there. Yep, I'm not hearing George. So, George, maybe you can call back when you've got a little better reception, I think. What George was getting at was suggesting that Wisconsin adopt the Texas model. You want to talk briefly about that, maybe raising the sales tax, eliminating income tax. What do you think?
So there are some states, I think there are six states that do not have income, do not have personal income taxes. And there are about the same number that don't have corporate income taxes. So, and I'm trying to recall which one is the case in Texas. Do you know?
The Texas state sales tax uses a tax rate. It's at 6.25%. May also impose sales tax in up to 2% of the minimum combined rate of 8.25. Now, does that make any sense to you?
Well, so, you know, what you have to look at here is not just the rate, but also the base at what's taxed. And so you'll have some states like Washington State is one I'm more familiar with that than Texas, to be honest with you. And Washington State just has a very broad base and a high rate as well. So, you know, so it's kind of a combination of looking at both in most places. But maybe George, if you called back, could fill us in on what his question is specifically about Texas.
Gotcha. Let's move on to Jacob in Wausau. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on the air.
Sure.
I was just wanting to bring up the flat tax. Why have we not moved towards that? You know, an even tax that goes from the poorest to the richest, just as a flat tax.
You know, we traditionally have a pretty progressive tax structure here, and you know, more progressive here than in comparison to most other states. There've been a number of studies on that. So, you know, in general, folks will argue that a progressive tax structure is probably better for folks at the lower end of the economic spectrum. It's probably why, you know, a lot of states have not gone to a flat tax. You know, the other side of the argument is that, you know, long-term economically that, there'll be some positive economic growth from that flat tax, but we didn't focus on that in this study.
Thank you, Jacob. And we're going to move on to Joe in Wausau next. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I would like to mention how lowering income tax and raising sales tax disproportionately affects the poor, in that people on a lower income level already don't pay a lot of income tax or almost no income tax. But raising sales tax on services like veterinary care and legal advice and financial planning and funerals, which are already expensive services, will push those services further out of the reach of people who are already struggling. And so their tax burden for people who struggle financially would actually go up.
Right.
So, thanks, Joe. And Joe is putting his finger there on some criticism that the report has received, that this would perhaps disproportionately hurt lower-income families.
Right. So I'm really glad you asked the question. Great question. So two things. And one is just that long-term we see more economic opportunity, more job growth, income growth across the board, and that helps everybody. However, economists will argue about the extent to which an increase in sales taxes, consumption taxes, will make a tax system more regressive. But in general, most of them will concede that to some extent it becomes more regressive. And I'm not going to argue with that. I would say, in fact, that of course it's a very valid policy goal to help folks at the lower economic strata. We want to make sure things are equitable and fair. There are a couple other ways to do that, and they are done to some extent in this state that are probably worth exploring further. Things like the homestead credit, which can apply not just to people who own homes in this state, but also people who rent, or earned income tax credits. A lot of talk about that. That's a way to kind of target to target folks, who are specifically in need at the lower end of the spectrum. So there are other ways to make a tax system, less regressive, but I would go back and reiterate that we do have a pretty progressive tax system in this state, and it would remain that way.
And Mike, briefly, what do you hope the next governor of Wisconsin takes away from this report?
You know what? I hope they'll sit back, no matter who it is, and think about what's best long term for prosperity and for the economy in this state. And I guess it's hard in politics to get beyond today and tomorrow, and particularly at this time in the election cycle. But we never seem to get really beyond beyond the moment. And we just think that we all need to step back and take a more sober look long term at what's best and how we really aren't measuring up. We really aren't competing with other states the way that we're capable of competing.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks, Veronica.
That was Mike Nichols, president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, who is with us to talk about the group's new report on taxes in the Badger State.